This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to a slightly damaged episode 286 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
I've got just one thing to say to you.
Yeah.
Don't swerve for the cat.
Don't swerve to miss them, or don't swerve
don't
to hit them?
Don't swerve to either or. You had a motorbike crash.
I did.
What happened?
I was coming home from work. There's this long left-hander on a downhill section. It's dual carriageway. I had just overtaken a prime mover, so truck without a trailer on it.
Yeah.
Had moved into the left-hand lane, so lane one. Started going round this long left-hander, got about halfway through and realized that at some point earlier in the day, could have been 5 minutes before, could have been 5 hours before, I don't know.
Yeah.
A vehicle had obviously driven down the left-hand lane, spilling oil or some other petroleum-based product all over the center of the left lane.
Nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And now the thing is, as an experienced motorcyclist and as someone who's done advanced riding courses, I was doing everything right. I was in the left.
You're on one wheel, standing with your back to the direction you're going, on the phone.
My foot on the seat.
That's what I see most cyclists doing. So you're doing the normal stuff, yeah.
So I've got my bike lined up with the left wheel track.
Yeah.
Right? We refer to the wheel tracks of where the car's wheels go. Simply because normally with a standard kind of, you know, little bit of oil that drips out of somebody's motor.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff, if it drips where the wheel tracks are, it will get removed from the road much quicker.
By the wheels.
Than if it drips in the middle of the road.
Well, that makes sense.
So as a motorcyclist, you always aim to ride in the wheel tracks because they're going to be the cleanest part of the road.
Yeah.
So I was riding in the left-hand wheel track of the left-hand lane, going around this corner, realize halfway through that there's all this stuff spilled on the road, and it was predominantly in the center of the lane and to the right-hand side of the lane. And if I had just maintained my momentum and maintained my line, I probably would have got through it fine.
Oh,
but
gross.
The trouble is, as a motorcyclist, it's ingrained in you that the minute you see a potential threat, you back off. Always, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're in the right or someone else is at fault. It doesn't matter. If there's a potential threat, you back off. And of course, in the process of backing off, you stand the bike up. Now, when you're going around a left-hand corner and you back off and stand the bike then runs wide, which put my front tire onto this spilled liquid. And of course, as soon as I realized what was happening, it was by the stage I realized what was happening, it was just too late to do anything about it. Next thing, the front end's just gone straight out from under me. I've landed on my left shoulder, and the bike has just spun off away from me. I've bounced, rolled, landed on my right hip, bounced and rolled, sort of landed on my bum and then bounced up onto my feet. I mean, thankfully I was only doing, you know, like 60 Ks an hour. So, you know, it wasn't a high speed crash. My bike in the meantime has just slid on its left-hand side, done a 720 degree spin down the road and hit the Armco in the middle of the, road, cause it's a split road. And so by that stage, the vehicles behind me have all basically ground to a halt. And I've sort of picked myself up and wandered over to the middle of the road and, you know, leaned against the Armco and this guy in the, he's like in a minivan has pulled up beside me and he's gone, mate, are you all right? And I'm just like, at that point you're in shock, you're in pain, the adrenaline's surging, you just don't know where you're at, you know? And, as it happened, about two cars behind me, there was an ambulance. And so the Ambo has pulled in front of where my bike was, because my bike was probably another 10, 15 metres down the road from where I was. And he's walked up to me and he said, mate, can you walk? And I said, yeah, I think I can. So he's gone, okay, well, let's get you in the ambulance, get you off the road. A couple of guys went and picked my bike up and wheeled it off the road. Thankfully, just about 50 metres down, there's quite a wide stretch on the side of the road where, you know, the ambulance was able to pull off, and they wheeled my bike down there. So the Ambos, you know, they've started doing their thing. Next thing I know, there's a tow truck driver who apparently was about five cars behind the ambulance. So he's
rolled ambulance up. Chaser.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, possibly. And he's stuck his head in the ambulance and he's gone, mate, are you fully insured? And I said, yeah, I am. And he said, well, he said, do you want me to take your bike anywhere? And I said, yeah.
Perth, for example, I get a good rate for that.
So I gave him the name of the bike dealership where I get the bike serviced. And he said, well, look, it's after hours now because it was 6 o'clock at night. He said, I can take it to our yard and then tomorrow we can get it transferred down to the bike shop.
Two charges, yep.
Yeah, probably. So anyway, I don't care. The insurance company's paying for it. So
we're all paying for it, dude.
Yeah, tell me about it. I'm paying for it, I can tell you. Yeah, so they took me off down to Gosford Hospital and, you know, did x-rays and a CAT scan and confirmed that nothing was actually broken.
Tabby or Siamese?
Yeah, one of those.
Comes in.
Yeah, no, he's fine.
Then the dog comes in, does the lab report.
That's it. So they did all that, and then a copper arrived and took my statement, and then there was all sorts of other debacles going on in the emergency room, and I sort of got pushed down the list because I wasn't
important
in a life threatening situation. Yeah, exactly. They had a woman come in who was. Looked like she was going to cark at any minute. She was 83. And so as a result, Kath and I didn't get out of there until midnight. So we were there for 6 hours.
Yeah.
So the remainder of this week I'm off work just laying low at home and taking
embarrassment.
Well, yeah. Yeah, look, you know.
You got to go back. You got to go face the workers eventually for them to tease and heckle you. So basically, what you're telling is, if you want to sum this 15 minute long god awful story, it was driving.
You're the one
error.
Who asked.
It was just incompetence, wasn't it? It was just
you can call
you did
it
all
that.
those defensive driving courses, and you still deliberately drove onto the oil. Oh, that's oil. You know what they should do?
What's that?
They should take an oil sample and send it off to get tested, because they can do that. Like when there's an oil spill in the ocean, they can find what boat it came from.
Right.
They can find what car it was.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Well, I'm glad it was. If you had to have an accident, it was
on a
moderate.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for all intents and purposes, I walked away from it. Things could have been a hell of a lot worse. I mean, the truck that was behind me, the ambulance driver said he was absolutely freaking out because he saw me go down.
Yeah,
and he said the semi trailer, like the prime mover, just barreled straight past me as I'm hitting the deck. I didn't even see him go by me. I had so much, life flashing before your eyes kind of thing, that I just completely oblivious to other traffic at that point. But
do you remember anything? I was in a plane crash once and the small plane, all the pilot's last words were shit. I'm just thinking, do you have any like epiphany at them? Do you have any like real moments of clarity towards the instant there that... Maybe some words of wise.
Moments like this in your life, and I mean, I'm sure everyone has had a moment like this where all your senses are turned up to 10.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing that I never cease to be amazed by is how many different thought processes can get processed by your brain in such a minuscule amount of time.
Wow.
You know, it just blows me away.
Imagine if we were operating on that sort of efficiency all the time.
Wouldn't it be awesome?
Or maybe, you know.
No?
I don't know. Yeah, you think, wow, but you know, if everyone was running at peak
maybe we'd all be really highly strung.
And really boring. Oh, dear.
Anyway.
I
haven't heard the result of what the bike looks like. Based on, you know, what I saw as I went down and hit the deck, I don't imagine it's going to be written off. I would imagine there's probably 4 or 5 grand's worth of damage to the side of the bike, but I don't think they're going to write it off. I've said to the bike dealership that I'll give them a call tomorrow afternoon. That's Friday afternoon, because they said they'd have a quote for the repairs by the end of the week. So I'll give them
that'll
a call
be tomorrow.
So I'll give them a call tomorrow and say, you know, how bad is it? What are we looking at? You know, what do you think the insurance company's going to say? And then it's a case.
User error.
And then it's a case of, yeah, getting the insurance company, because basically what happens is the bike dealership does a quote to repair the damage. The insurance company will then send out an assessor to look at the bike and go, yes, what they've quoted is reasonable given the damage to the bike.
Yeah.
And then hopefully they approve the work to be done. So basically, yeah, first thing next week, I'm going to be getting down the insurance company's throat and going, come on, make this happen and make it happen now. Yeah. So I need this bike back on the road. Hey?
I need to get to work.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, obviously the next 2 or 3 weeks, I'm probably going to be catching the train. But you know, so be it. Give me some time to catch up on some reading.
Yeah, hop along and maybe even learn something about photography and read up some books on photography and just open some kernels of wisdom to us over the next few weeks. Anyway, enough Living of that boring hope. Crap. Let's talk about me.
So what's your week been like?
No. Other than that, your week's been okay. Other than that, before that, everything, because we haven't recorded for 2 weeks. So you've been okay the last 2 weeks.
It's been a rough week actually, because yesterday morning Kath's grandmother died.
Oh, that's no good.
So this weekend we're heading up to Grafton for a funeral.
Yeah.
So Max is away all this week on a year 9 camp. He gets back tomorrow. So we'll basically be packing his bag and our bags and waiting for him for the school bus to arrive back at school, because they've gone down to Jindabyne. So they're like, 7 hours away. They get back here mid-afternoon tomorrow. We'll basically be waiting at the bus stop, and as soon as he hops off the bus, it'll be jump in the car, off we go to Grafton. He's going to be wrecked.
Crazy.
He'll be thinking, Well, yeah, we knew it was coming.
That's right.
But he's
makes it a little bit easier.
He's going to be getting off a 7-hour bus ride and thinking, thank God that's over, and we're going to throw him in the car for an 8-hour drive to Grafton.
Tell him to man up. Yes. Well, I'll be able to sleep a lot of it at night time, so I'll be able to sleep at least.
Yeah. Other than that, I can say triumphantly that, like Elvis,
you've got some good news.
Yes, triumphantly, like Elvis, the camera has left the building.
Excellent. So, where's it? What area of the world is it winging it off to?
WA to Rob Coates.
Really?
Yeah.
Mr. Coates. No pressure, but it better be awesome. I just shouldn't say that. I haven't had my go yet. we're not expecting miracles out of this shot, guys. All we want is just something simple.
Yep.
Oh dear.
So how's your fortnight been?
Well, it's been interesting. Run a few workshops, of course.
Yep.
I did a photo shoot the other day with my 3-year-old kiddo.
Oh. That's unusual for you.
I know it is, but it was unusual in that, and as a parent, you'll understand what I mean when I say this. I shot a new kiddo. I shot the first stage of the next her.
Right.
Yeah, she showed this next kid showed up in the photograph, and I hadn't seen it in her walking around. I hadn't seen it in glances and sidelong little looks.
Right.
But just as she got in front of the camera, she just looked. And there was the next evolution of my kid there.
Wow.
And it's not there anymore.
Okay.
But you can see that it's coming. Yeah. So she, because, you know, but you, just for a minute there, you can see, I see how she's going to be as a 4- and 5-year-old kid. Yeah. I see what kind of kid she's going to, which is amazing. And to capture capture the photo at that exact moment was kind of cool. And,
nice.
So I love the shot, but it doesn't look like any other photo I've ever taken of her.
Yeah,
right. And it's the first photo shoot she's actually sat and worked it a bit. You know, she's actually getting into the concept of what we're trying to do. So that was good.
I tell you what, your little Miss 6.75 is going to be a great model.
Why?
Oh, she looks fantastic. She's so photogenic. Like, I mean, she's pretty. She takes after her mother, clearly.
Does, absolutely.
but she, you know, I mean, having her photograph taken every single day of her life as she has.
Not quite. No, there was a Thursday last year.
Yeah, that'd be about it. Yeah. I don't know. There's just, she just obviously has learned how to relate to the lens in yeah. a way that is just beautiful to see at such a young age. And I just think, God, you know, she's going to be gorgeous as a teenager, and she's just going to know how to relate to a lens really well, and she will make a great model.
I've got a feeling Miss 3 is going to be even better.
Right.
Her face has better balance. I think she's going to be prettier at the two, and wow. interesting to see how it comes out. But I think it'll be chalk and cheese almost between the two of them.
I think
one's going to be a real whoa, look at that, and yeah, and even better in front of the camera. So it's be interesting to see how it develops.
Yeah, right.
I think Miss 3's got more potential. So wow. Who knows how that goes?
Big call for the super coach.
Yeah, I got a new sponsor this week. So I want to put a little bit of a shout out to the new company X-Lite, which are just releasing in Australia. And they've got a special off, 20% off as a launch special. But all the strobe stuff, all the soft boxes for hot shoe for hot shoe flashes and connectors and stands, and dime a dozen every time Dick and Larry's has got them. But they're supposed to be better built than a lot of the stuff going around, and quite a good range of gear.
So is this who is X-Lite?
Well, I think it's just a marketing name for KL, the people who import Allen Craft and Lastite. It's just a way of sort of targeting that lower end market stuff,
right?
Where Allen Craft and Lastite and all their high end pro stuff doesn't quite meet. So it's just come to that sort of more consumer based market. But they've got some lovely soft boxes for flashes. I'm looking forward to having a bit of a play with. So so they're good. That was kind of nice to get them on board.
Nice.
Which is good. And speaking of new sponsors, I'm working hard to get another one at the moment, because I got this email the other day. I should pull up the emails. I was thinking, what was his name? Bruno Stanley is his name. Bruno Stanley. And here we go. His email was, if I can, because it's all kind of all junky.
Written in Russian.
Now his name's Stanley Meng. He's gone from Bruno Stanley, the front of it, to Stanley Meng. Right. But basically, he's from I don't know where, and he's got this new HDR time lapse camera. Oh, it's the Bruno's. I've been calling him Bruno, and his name's Stanley. Look at that. It's the Bruno HDR time lapse camera, the TLC 200 Pro.
Right.
And so it's come on. First I thought it was spam.
Yeah.
But I thought, yeah, thank you for your email. This is my response. Thank you for your email. Please send me a couple of sample units to my post office box, blah, blah, blah. I'll test the units, and if they're good, I'll put together a video review. Just send me free stuff. And then he's come back. Dear Glenn, thanks for your request, and we think you are a very professional photographer. It's still no joy on the gear. So I said, when's my free cameras coming, dude? it was kind of funny. So we'll see what comes of that. I'm working
on it. So what's the camera? Is it it's an SLR?
It's like an all-in-one standalone unit. It's a box of the lens, but it does HDR time-lapse.
Right.
So if you go to Bruno.com, oh dear, maybe I shouldn't click this link. Oh, my computer's burning. No. Shouldn't click that link from his work. Bruno.com is Bruno with two N's, as you'd expect.
Of course.
Like the famous Canon with two N's. Bruno. And so that's HDR. It's supposed to be the world's first HDR time lapse. Camera. So I don't know. It looks like an interesting piece of kit. It would be kind of fun to have. I'm not paying for it. Be mad. I've heard people do that out in the real world. They pay for camera gear, but it's not something I'm keen on. So yeah, the TLC 200 Pro makes HDR time lapse easy. Capture stunning HDR time lapse videos with the push of a button. You never thought making time lapse videos could be so easy. Set it and forget it. The TLC 200 Pro creates the video instantly, no post processing required.
Right. So, okay.
Yeah, but yeah, it could be kind of fun. Yeah, okay. I like a bit of time lapse. You're forced to, aren't you? So we'll see what comes of that. I'll keep you posted. If I get one, here's what we'll do. If I get one, we're going to send it around the world to our and everyone can do a time lapse in their zone, and we put together a time lapse video.
Cool.
That would be fun.
That would be cool.
We got to go. So let's do that if we get one.
Anyway, it's 42 kilograms.
Postage is a mite expensive. Now, I've got a couple of shout-outs I've got to put out there.
Yeah.
One's to my very, very good friend, Philip Collier.
Right.
Long time listener of the podcast. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's only got one channel, his internet. but he reliably informs me. He makes us into double figures.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Because you saw when you put up the thing last week saying that there was no podcast last week, there was an outpouring of grief.
There was.
There was 8 responses on the Facebook page.
Somebody must have responded twice.
8 individual people. And then Phil Collier pops up, number 9 at the very least. Oh, it's crazy. And the other person I want to send out a lovely little hello to is Madeline Broadway. Oh. If you listen to Mads, g'day, how you doing? Nice to talk to you. Lovely.
Hello, Madeline.
She's one of our lovely listeners. Yeah, I just think it's nice to keep in touch with our audience, Bruce.
Definitely.
Just on a personal level and say thank you for your sometimes week in, week out support. Nothing else is better to listen to, and you need to keep awake whilst driving to work.
That's right.
We do appreciate it.
We do.
Oh, here's another thing. I've got my Melbourne City walk this week.
Yeah.
Fashion walk through town. I've got my new dress arrived just in time. Oh, and it is a...
And does it fit you?
It's not quite. It's a bit, pinches a bit about my nipples. No, it's all killer and no filler, this dress. It is beyond stupid. It's a silly, silly, ridiculous, over-the-top, perfect for photographs dress.
Okay.
The thing is, it's got a train bigger than the 945 from Frankston.
Nice.
It's madness. It's just as oily. Yeah. it's going to be great. So stay tuned for photos of that next week, and we're going to have some fun with that.
So where are you sourcing your dresses from?
I have a little boutique, eBay.
Right.
Because I can't afford to buy expensive dresses because we trashed the living daylights out of them.
Yeah.
So I buy cheap dresses.
Yeah.
This one, I've gone a bit crazy. This one cost me $90.
Right.
And $45 postage. It's cost me around...
What? $45 postage?
It's a big dress.
It's coming from Antarctica.
It's a big dress. So $45 postage. But put this way, to get a dress like that here would be into the 600s more. So, you know, it's still very inexpensive. It's going to photographically, I hope, it's going to look great. So we'll soon find out. Now, I've come across some amazing stuff to talk about this week, Bruce.
Okay, before you go there.
Oh, where? Where am I going?
Down that rabbit hole. Have you thought about getting in touch with, like, the students who are doing fashion design in like the tapes?
No, it's too much work.
Okay. All right.
By work, I mean effort.
Right.
It requires effort, Bruce. And you must be mistaking me for someone who actually does that.
Right. Fair enough then. Okay, down the rabbit hole as you were.
I'm coming back up for a second. A little wave, going back down again.
Right.
Like a gopher. How about an ND 100,000?
Okay.
The ND 100,000.
That's going to take a little while to get an image out of.
It's a new Marumi ND 100,000.
Really?
Yep.
Seriously?
100,000. I'm saying it in a very serious voice. First, I mean, how could you doubt? It's for photographing the sun.
Oh, it's okay. Just
for solar photography, right. But still, oh, could you imagine?
And what will that give you? 1/100 of a second?
Yeah, if you put two of them on, yes. That's pretty good. But they've also got for normal photography down to ND66.
Okay,
66 stop.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so they've got some interesting for those who like doing the long timey stuff. I think they've got an 8, 16, 33, and 66.
Wow.
So that's kind of interesting, isn't it? So there's the link is there. It's for you to look at.
So is that 66 actually 66 stops? Or is it
I don't know 66. Anything about this. So there's 66 trombones on the big parade for all I know.
Okay. Whatever.
Is ND8? No. So ND8's not 8 stops.
Oh, no, yeah, you're right. So ND8, no, an ND8 is 3 stops.
Yeah,
so 4, and ND16 would be 4 stops. An ND32 would be 5 stops. Yeah. And a 64 would be 6 stops.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. That's a nice series to have. Yeah,
it's a good little kit to have, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then the ND10,000, of course.
The 100,000. Yeah, so the idea would be to work out what that is to what power, because whatever the power is the number of stops that would represent.
I think you've got to fight the power.
Use the force, Luke.
I mean, I've been watching all those videos again. I bought the entire series on Blu-ray, and I started from 1 and going all the way through to 6.
Why did you buy it now? Clown!
It was cheap.
What?
It was cheap.
And what are you going to do when the 7th one comes out? Then you have this one disc that doesn't match the other 6.
What about the 8th and 9th?
We'll be dead before they come out.
Good point. I've waited 30-odd years. I think I won't mind having an odd disc.
Fair enough. I mean, having said that, I did buy the Bond 50.
There you go.
On Blu-ray.
It's 51.
Anyway,
I came across this thing called AstroPad during the week, right. And loving my astronomy stuff. I thought, oh, here you go. What's this? What they're doing with astronomy in this? Turns out, nothing.
Right.
Nothing at all. Okay. But they have made your iPad your touch tablet for the Photoshop.
Oh,
so
that's cool.
Yeah, so it's you're working on your screen.
So you can use it in place of a Wacom tablet.
Exactly. Yeah, so replacing the Wacoms.
Nice.
Now my concern would be not having actually tried it would be what kind of lag there may be.
Yep.
To make it a viable editing tool, but you know it's the first step in the journey, and it's good to see. And you'd love to be able to do that sort of stuff. Now imagine if you could. Download your photos, stream your photos straight from your shoot, straight onto your iPhone or on your iPad.
Yep.
And then on your iPhone, do your editing for your iPad. So you use the AstroPad on your phone to do your editing or vice versa. And yeah, you've got a full editing suite between your phone and your iPad.
It's crazy.
And your camera. Yeah, it'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, this next thing, not really about photography yet, but I see amazing potential in this thing.
Okay.
It's I don't even know how you even pronounce it. I'm saying Colux.
Yep.
COELUX.
Yep.
But Bruce, have a click on that link, young man.
Yeah, I'm just loading the page now.
Look at that.
Colux is an optical system based on nanotechnology to artificially reproduce the natural light and visual appearance of the sun and sky. Right. So it's a skylight.
It's a digital skylight, Bruce.
Offers a breakthrough opportunity for indoor architecture by creating the sensation of infinite space.
So imagine if you were in the bottom floor of a three-story building, you could put this on your roof, be able to see the sky and the sun traverse over it, and it would feel like daylight. It throws light and it throws shadows.
Wow.
That feels like daylight.
Okay.
Could you imagine having a daylight studio?
Yeah.
Using it at night to do your natural light portraits at night, using your roof or your wall.
That would be cool, but how can it throw shadows only in one direction? If it's a light panel,
because the light source actually moves across and throws it directionally.
Right, so it's kind of like a grid.
No idea.
Like,
but
you know what I mean by like the kind of grid we put on top on the front of a flash, right? Like
that. Can you see the photo of the apples?
Yeah.
These are unretouched photographs as shot.
Really?
From it. Well, this is what it says there. Caution. The photographs on this site are real and unretouched. They are not computer renderings. Mm. Caution. I'm glad they've cautioned us for that.
Yes.
But that's its potential. You look at how the light looks, how it throws.
If that is really how they look, that is stunning.
Exactly.
I'm skeptical.
You know, they've won all these awards for it.
Have they?
They've won the Lux Award Light Source Innovation of the Year.
Wow.
Judges in London call Lux's entry groundbreaking artificial skylight that really has to be seen to be believed.
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, it looks phenomenal if it does what it looks like. Imagine having your own natural light studio, and you can control whether you have hard light, soft light, which direction it's coming from, where it's throwing shadows.
Pretty awesome.
Its intensity. Man.
Yeah, I mean, if it's all that it's cracked up to be, it will be amazing. Like I said, I'm skeptical.
All it has to be, though, is a glimpse into the future.
Yeah.
Of what could be possible. Yeah. Because I've never thought of anything like this before. I've never imagined something like this before.
No.
And then it's, yeah. But you can actually buy them already.
Wow.
Experience the sky. I love it. It's blowing my mind. I got to tell you, the concept of setting up a studio, with these panels is just.
Oh, but what happens if you got two of them? Oh, you end up with two suns.
Two suns in the sunset. It's not a good sign. we're either on Tatooine or we've just got a nuclear explosion. Yeah. One of the two. So look at that and watch this space or that space. Because I reckon that the potential possibilities is astounding on that thing. And then one of the founders of the internet, one of the founders of the current internet we have now, I can't remember his name, did a thing this week about printing photographs. I've got the link there and blah, blah, blah. Print your photos or risk losing them to the digital dark age.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Is it Tim Berners-Lee or somebody else?
No, it's I can't remember his name.
Kerf. I'm just loading it now. Yeah. Vint Cerf.
That's him. Cerf, Kerf, Berf.
Yeah.
I don't know him from Adam, and I know Adam. Speaking of Adam, hello, Adam. And any other Adams that may be listening, for that matter. Not just that Adam, the other Adams too.
Right.
But why I brought this article up, this particular article, whilst it's important, it's good, and blah, 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 say, print your photos, no one's going to listen anyway.
Mm.
You know my displeasure of using things like functionality and, you know, I have a
perfectly valid words, yeah.
You know I have a fair amount of displeasure in this futile need to add things to perfectly existing words.
Yeah.
Whilst talking about printing in this article, he says it's something about, and I've only captured the phrase that was important, creating a physical instance.
Okay.
In other words, printing out the photo.
Yeah.
In his speak, is creating a physical instance.
Right.
So I think we should all go out there and create some physical instances. Put them on our walls.
Right.
Creating a physical instance. Did I talk last week, or last time we recorded, about David Duchemin came up with this, or whatever you pronounce his name, about printing your favourite photos and putting them up on your wall and living with them for a while?
No.
You know, I thought this is a good thing. You know, you take the photo that you love, your favorite of the moment photograph,
right,
and print it out. It doesn't have to be great quality. Doesn't just get the thing printed out biggish, and shove it or them on your wall, and you're going to walk past for the first few days going, oh, I love that. Oh, I nailed that. Awesome. And then like a week into it, you're going to go, oh, I didn't see that.
Right.
Oh yeah. No, you start seeing what you've done really well. And then once you've lived with it for a while, not just put it on Facebook for people to say, oh, isn't that lovely? You're the world's best photographer and so on. You put it up in your own living area.
Space. Yep.
darkness and space. in your own environment,
yeah.
and live with it for a while. And the more you live with it, the more you see its flaws. And the more you see its flaws, the more you know how to do it better next time.
Right.
So how do you get better? Take the stuff that you already like what you're doing and finding out how they could have been improved by living with them. I thought it was a great idea.
Yeah. So have you done it?
Oh, of course not. Dude, I won't even go and chat to you about getting free dresses from people in the street because it requires emails and phone calls. But, you know, for those who want to be better, I think that's a great thing. So anyway, speaking of physical instances, there's a Kickstarter project at the moment from a company called Beehive Physical Instance Hangers.
Yes. Now, this was one that Adam put up on the Facebook wall.
Did he really?
Yes, he did. Because I had it in my list of things to cover. It
looks like a very clever.
Oh, it's great.
A little mounting system for physical instances.
When I first loaded the page and I saw the picture of them, I'm like, what the hell is that? I had to watch the video to understand what the concept was.
Yeah.
But once you've watched it, you go, oh, my God, why did it take so long for someone to think of that?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. As someone who is absolutely manic about frames hanging straight.
Have you got CDO?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
What's CDO?
What?
What is it?
Compulsive disorder. Obsession.
Okay. Right. You just made it up.
No. Are you telling me if you seriously had compulsive disorder obsession, sometimes known as obsessive compulsive disorder.
Right.
You would allow it to be out of alphabetical order? OCD, I don't think so. You wouldn't be able to sleep.
Oh, I miss that completely.
So anyway.
Yeah.
For framing these physical...
your physical instances.
Physical instances. Oh, I mean, really physical. God. I mean, is it that bloody hard to say, oh, print the photo... raising a physical instance. God, I can see it now. Kodak physical instance stores. It's going to take off. It's going to be big. I'm getting a T-shirt made now. Look at my physical. Anyone want to see my physical instance? Oh, it comes in different sizes depending on the weather. Yes, but that Kickstarter project, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then I saw some kind of creepy images that... I think the concept was not to look at the creepy side of it, to look at the, oh, isn't that wacky and funny side.
Right.
And this guy, Martin Szabo, has got a really powerful leaf blower and made people do photographs with it blowing their faces all over out of whack and exploding the faces and stuff, right?
Yeah, right.
But as anyone knows with a leaf blower, it's a fairly narrow band of wind. Yeah.
Yep.
So whenever he's got two people in the shot, one's being hit by it and one looks normal.
Right.
And it looks kind of weird. Like you've got this normal person sitting next to this really strangely, bizarrely obscure person. And it's like, it just kind of does your head in just a little bit. You know? I think he should have done the whole series like that rather than just actually have individuals. Because the individuals, yeah, it's okay. But, yeah. But having that juxtaposition between normality and that in the same shot.
Normality, is that a real word? Why'd you have to add itty to the end of normal? Why'd you have to do that, Glenn? What happened?
Oh, I lost internet there for a minute, Bruce. What happened?
It just dropped out.
Did it? Oh, that's terrible, isn't it?
What a terrible time for it to drop out. I was giving you a hard time.
You know the Henri Cartier-Bresson.
I was giving you a hard time.
Oh, sorry, I dropped out.
You used the word normality, and I said, why did you have to go and add ality to the end of normal? Oh.
Sorry, it's windy down here. We must keep losing the signal.
You keep hanging up every time I say that.
So anyway.
You don't want to be put on the spot.
The book.
Hang on, we're not finished with Martin Szabo.
Oh, he's done and dusted.
No, you missed the best part of his website.
What was the best part of his website?
the line at the very bottom, stealing images is bad karma. I love it.
I don't care. People can steal them. I don't care if people steal images. Okay. Personally. Well, you know, I mean, I had this discussion during the last week. Bill Geckos had another one of his images stolen, and it's like, who cares?
Yeah,
let them steal. What are they going to do with it? They put it on their Facebook, pretend it's theirs. Put it on the. Who cares?
Well, I guess, not like that. I guess the only time you care is if someone steals it and makes money from it.
But are they ever going to?
Well,
realistically,
I don't know.
And if they are, who cares?
Okay.
You know, realistically, I mean, as long as you know, you're in the place that you're happy with, and yeah, you know, I don't care if no one's going to do it, but someone's stolen my images and used it for advertising. I bet the only thing I'd care about is if it was a photo of my kids.
Yeah, right.
Something personal as opposed to a photo of who cares. But I just don't care enough about it. Like, well, you know, just get on with your lives, keep shooting, do more. Who cares about a shot you took 5 years ago and someone else is using it? Yep. Just keep moving on. You can't win. Because, look, I suffer road rage, Bruce. You probably wouldn't. Someone's right. Calm and collected as myself. I guess you probably probably wouldn't imagine that a bit. But I get stressed on the road with other people. Just give me the Tom Tits, you know. Yeah. But then a friend of mine the other week said, well, you know, is it going to change anything, Glenn? Is you getting upset going to change them being who they are? And I said, no. He says, well, just don't bother. So I haven't since then. I've just given up.
Yeah.
I just, oh, whatever, you know.
Yep.
And I feel a lot better.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with the photos. You're not going to stop them. If they want to do it, they'll do it.
Yes.
Bugger all you can do about it. If you don't want people stealing your photos off the internet, here's the thing. Don't put them on the internet. solution done, you know.
Yes,
if these are images where you can make a serious buck out of.
Just keep your physical instances. Don't worry about your digital instances.
Sell them to corporations who will pay you for the right of that image. Sell them in other ways.
Yeah.
But don't get peeved. Now, we'll put them on such a low-res bloody photo on the internet that you can't see it on an iPhone and it'll look pixelated, you know. And that people get – it's just not worth it. You know, this guy, people are stressing about it day in, day out. It's like, whatever, you know, just – be flattered. Someone thought your photo was good enough to steal, you know?
That's true. Yes,
you know?
All right, so you were trying to tell us about a book.
Henri Cartier-Bresson.
Yeah.
There's a book coming out at the moment called The Decisive Moment, and this is just an aside to what I'm trying to get to. But first up, the book is supposed to be one of the most beautifully printed books that ever has been brought out by Magnum.
Right.
But the front cover is just some silly doodly things. It's white with some, like, coloured doodles on it.
Right. What's the book called?
The Decisive Moment.
The Decisive. You didn't send me a link for this one.
I didn't know because I just sort of ramble on just by myself.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't really going to go into talking about that.
Right.
I was going to talk about, you know, I've come out with a new phrase for photography.
Oh, okay.
That I was rather pleased with,
yeah.
You know, kind of replacing the spray and pray
right.
concept of photography that modern photography has become. I'm thinking of calling it the Indecisive Moment.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't really know when to shoot or what. I just shoot everything all the time.
Right.
And in there, gold somewhere. maybe aluminium, but aluminum. Right. Where you come from. But just,
I see what
just,
you mean about the cover of the book. It's a bit random.
It doesn't make any sense at all, does it? It
no.
Doesn't. It's like, well, couldn't you afford to license one of his images for the cover?
No, apparently
not. Very strange. It's
very odd.
Yeah, which doesn't. Yeah, it's not going to make you want to pick it up off the shelf if you don't know him.
Yeah.
But you like photography. If you don't know him, let's say you're starting out, you don't know him, and you're looking for a book on photography,
if you're
not going to walk up and pick that up.
If you're a big fan of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, it might appeal to you because it looks like the sort of drug-induced cartoonification of Hunter S. Thompson going through Joshua Tree National Park.
There you go. So I agree with it, but I like the Indecisive Moment. I think we could probably rename our podcast actually. The Indecisive Moment. Then I came across another interesting article about people in the newsroom coming down with post-traumatic stress disorder.
Oh, okay.
From having to view all the images that come into the newsroom,
right?
Oh, from war zones and all the horrors and stuff that they have to see to get.
Yeah, right.
The news broadcast up and going. And so there's this big mental health challenge, apparently. I mean, look at all the stuff that, you know, I don't want to call them. There's a show in England that Australians on called The Last Leg, done by a guy called Adam Hills.
Okay.
And he doesn't want to call that mob of
yes
people in the Middle East who are beheading people and setting them on fire or something. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to call them by their name because yep. yeah,
the less airtime we give them, the better.
Exactly.
Yep.
But you know, all the stuff that they're putting out, these people have to actually watch and put through to know what's going to get to air. And so they're coming out with this post-traumatic stress disorder for these guys.
I can understand that. I mean, yeah, there's a famous, well, I don't know if you call it famous, but a saying on the internet that, you know, what's been seen cannot be unseen.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I think it might have even been around before the internet, that one.
Probably was, But, yeah, it makes sense.
It does. So, yeah, so that's an interesting sort of something you'd never think about, I guess. Something no. I'd never considered, you know, that all the stuff you go through.
Unless you work in a video newsroom.
Yeah. Then Petapixel decided to put down a breakdown of cameras that captured the winning images of the World Press Photo Award in 2015. I don't know why.
In 2015? These are obviously based on images taken in 2014.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Canon 23.
Yep.
Nikon 7.
Yep.
They are. The game's over. Everyone moved to Canon. No. Olympus 2. Apple 1. That's interesting, isn't it? Hasselblad 1. Phase 1. 1, which is appropriate. Ricoh 1. Leica 1. Mamiya 1. That's all. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
How about you put up a chart? How many photos were taken with people who have photographic skills? And how many weren't? How many were just random, indecisive moments, spray and pray shots? And how many were actually taken with skill? Because it doesn't matter what kind of camera you got. If you have skill, you can take good shots. If you don't, you may luck one, but you don't take them. It's just bizarre.
Yeah.
Bizarre. But more photos were taken with Canon's high-end Pro-Am camera, the 5D Mark III, as opposed to their 1DX, their top-end Pro camera.
Yeah, right.
It's interesting. Yeah. Shows you sort of what people
by are almost the factor of 2 to 1.
Yes, if not more than or whatever.
It was 11 to 6, so it was almost.
Yeah, 2 to 1. Almost. Yeah. If someone had taken one more or one less, probably one more would have been better because one less would have been even more confusing. And then I sat and watched this next one with my daughters tonight.
Right.
And for the first minute, they were blown away. Then they zoned out because they were bored because it went for 4 minutes.
Right.
But NASA took a series of photographs, almost one photo a second, for 5 years.
What?
Of the sun.
Oh, wow.
One photo a second for 5 years of the sun. And this thing is just mind-blowingly, amazingly, incredible, awe-inspiringly. Did I say the word amazing?
Something like that.
Incredible. It's got to be watched. It's like, wow, that's our sun. That's what gives us life. And
do you actually notice much change over 5 years?
You just got to watch it.
Because I'm thinking 5 years in the age of the sun, that's just like one heartbeat.
You got to watch that sucker. It is. I'd love to hear it to classical music.
Yeah, right.
It was brilliant. So that was really good.
Wow. Okay. I'll check that out.
Whilst I was looking at the Indiegogo and Kickstarter things for that hangar thing, I'll look and see what else people have got on Kickstarter at the moment.
Yeah.
And I cannot believe the amount of people out there who are saying, oh, look, I broke my camera and I'd like to get another one. And, you know, if you buy my camera for me, I'll send you a photo. If you put a lot of money in, I'll send you 2 photos.
You're serious?
Over and over and over. I did bring this one up, and it's entitled Professional Camera and Computer.
And they help, want $5,000 US.
Help make it happen. Where's the blurb gone? Why have I got no blurb? Here it comes. I was always inspired by touching landscapes and beauty of ordinary people around us. I really want to capture the moments and share with everyone around the globe. Also, I'd like to make wallpapers and backgrounds which will last the lifetime and be totally royalty-free and free of charge, but I don't have the means to do it. If you support my project for as little as $5 each, I shall surely amaze you with 5 outstanding HD pictures.
Yeah.
So it's been going a full day.
Yep.
So far, he's raced slightly less than zero. I'd like to pay it, Megan. But I want to go and take photos. Someone buy me a camera and a computer, will you? Effectively, it's what it is, you know. There's another guy. Oh, I picked my camera back up in class today and my camera fell out and smashed on the floor. It doesn't work. But I've gone on, Reddit site.
Right.
And I've managed to secure several weddings for me to shoot later in the year.
Really?
But now I don't know how he got on Reddit. He managed to get wedding bookings. I've got these bookings and his Fuji camera with his 56mm lens, which is all he owns. To shoot the entire wedding with. Now it doesn't work. So he wants people to buy him a new camera so he can do these weddings.
Right.
And there's like so many of these things.
It's ridiculous. It's like,
this is just, I mean.
See, it's that sort of thing that is going to completely deep six sites like Indiegogo and Kickstarter.
They really should have some sort of vetting process.
Absolutely.
To allow what's going to go. Because, I mean, if I had $5 to spare.
Yeah.
Unless you have such a compelling case that I feel you need to be a photographer, I would rather support the little school on there saying, help us get cameras for our classroom.
Oh, totally.
You know, I'd rather just something that you think is going to actually have impact and not to some person's selfish, I can't afford it, I don't want to work for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Save the money for it, but I'll send you some photos if you buy it for me. Anyway. And then the last thing I want to talk about was There's a thing called a modular phones forum, which I didn't know.
Right.
And guess what it's about?
Yeah. I know about the modular phone.
It's about the modular phones. Yeah, but Toshiba have shown these series of modular cameras for phones.
Yeah, right.
This week. These little slide-in 5-megapixel, 12-megapixel stuff, and they're just astounding. Yeah, it's just wow, you know? And you just click in, click out, all this sort of stuff. So you'd be able to completely, rather than to keep buying new phones all the time.
Yeah.
Just keep swapping around the important modules.
Yeah. Well, that was the whole basis of the idea of the modular phone, was that you could basically put it together like Lego, so that as new processors come out, you could just order a new processor, switch out your old one, throw in the new one, you know, upgrade the RAM, you know.
And away you go. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, of course, the trouble is we keep dropping our phones and breaking them, and so we just have to buy a whole new phone.
Yeah. but still, that little slimline camera looked pretty darn cool.
Yeah, know? Right.
Well, that's all the stuff I got. I thought I found some cool stuff this week.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was quite chuffed.
There's a couple of things that I dug up, and there were a couple of things that people had put on the wall for us on the Facebook page. One thing that I noticed, I thought you would have mentioned this, about Apple getting rid of iPhoto.
I didn't see that, actually. Was that on our wall, was it?
No, that was not, but I thought it might have crossed your radar over the last couple of weeks. Apple are going to kill off iPhoto, and they're renaming it Photos for Mac.
It's so bad.
I'm not sure.
It's catchy, isn't it?
Oh, totally. So I'm not sure whether there's any difference in the functionality, Glyn, or whether it's just a
rebranding. I think the connectivity may have changed, though.
Or whether it's just a rebranding. I don't know.
It's just so bad. That is Photos for Mac.
Yeah. Something I saw
is dead, isn't he? Steve Jobs, wasn't it? It was Steve Jobs, wasn't it?
Steve Jobs, yes. And he's dead, yes. And he's rolling over in his grave. Something I saw on DIY Photography, which was kind of a feel-good, feel-bad-then-feel-good story. In America, there is a project called Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep, very similar to...
Yes, I hate it.
The story?
No, I hate the name.
Oh, yes. So very similar to Heartfelt, which Gavin Blue runs here in Australia. And basically the story was that a photographer from North Carolina by the name of Faith Massey had taken these images of a newborn who sadly didn't live. But before she had a chance to process the images, all of her camera gear got stolen out of her car. And for some reason, she decided to tell the local TV station about it. The TV station ran a story about how this camera gear had been stolen and that on the memory card in the camera was the only images of this newborn infant that died pretty much straight after birth, and that the parents of the infant were naturally distraught because they had no images of their, you know, deceased newborn. And lo and behold, an envelope arrives a few days later at the television station, no return address, with the memory card, with all the images intact.
Yay.
So, you know, feel bad that, you know, some scumbag stole the camera, but kind of nice that they heard about it and did the right thing and at least returned the memory card, if not the whole goddamn kit.
Yeah.
But at least those parents ended up getting their images. So kind of feel bad, feel good story.
Yeah, exactly. It's certainly, as always, the images are far more important than the gear, and it's just nice it had that sort of ending.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, Rakesh.
Yes, the lovely Rakesh.
She's traipsing around the world with his wife.
Oh, she?
No, Rakesh. Rakesh, you know Rakesh.
Isn't she a
he?
She?
He?
Yeah, I know Rakesh. We spent a lovely couple of nights together, me and Rakesh once.
So anyway, Rakesh and his wife are traveling around the world having a great old time. In the midst of all that, he managed to send me a link to let us know that there is a new video podcast, if you want to call it that, or a vodcast or a vidcast or whatever you choose to call these things, called The Lightroom Show, hosted by Scott Kelby and RC Conception. And basically, they're doing a serialized show on Lightroom. So for anyone who uses Lightroom or is thinking of making the jump to Lightroom and doesn't know what it's like, this is basically a TV show all about Lightroom.
Fabulous.
So I thought I'll throw the...
And how's that different from his podcast he used to do that was all about Lightroom?
I don't know.
I was just checking.
Different hosts, maybe. I don't know. So anyway, I thought I'll throw that there in the show notes for anyone that wants to have a look at it. Now, Carl Hemmings sent me a link.
The lovely Carl.
Sent both of us a link. Which
I didn't look at it, though.
Inexplicably appears to be the entire Nikon product catalogue.
Why would we want to? Only six photographs were taken with that in the World Bloody Photography Awards. I mean...
So I'm not
sure. Be any good.
I'm not sure why Carl wanted us to see the entire product line from Nikon, but I think it was.
But thanks for sharing anyway.
Yeah, I think it was to do with new DSLRs on the way from Nikon.
New one going to be announced next week or something, apparently, as well. So
Now I mentioned. You mentioned the Beehive photo hangers, which Adam had posted on the Facebook wall, but he also posted. A story about Murray, blah, 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 what's the guy's name now? Hang on, just waiting.
Fielding.
For Murray Fredericks. Now, Murray Fredericks was a guy who shot the documentary Salt.
Yeah, I know.
You know it?
Yeah, he's done some other stuff too, Greenland and stuff. Yeah.
Yes, well, that's what this one was about.
Ah.
It was about his Greenland ice project.
Oh, yes.
Just taking photos of nothing. And
Wasn't that a Seinfeld show?
Yeah, that's right.
No, I've seen the documentary of him shooting these photographs somewhere. I don't know where.
Well, that would be Salt, surely.
No, the documentary of Salt was his
Lake Eyre here in Australia.
I've seen his one doing the Greenland Ice Project.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that, I haven't seen all of Salt. I only saw about the last 15 minutes of it.
You need more salt than that. It's not good for you, but you need more salt than that.
Yes. But it was interesting just scrolling through this story and having a look at some of the images that he shot in Greenland. It's just gorgeous.
They are.
So that was that. And then the last one was from Steve Peters. And
he makes a mean cheesecake, Steve.
Does he just?
He does.
I'm pretty sure you've told us that about.
I know, but I'm up in Brisbane next month. I'm just trying to put a hint in. Strawberry. Right. Not one of those baked ones. You know, just cold.
Right.
Nice. Yeah, anyway.
And this was a video that was posted on Facebook by Edelcrone, and it is the Flex Tilt Head.
Oh, yeah, I've seen. This is great, isn't it?
It's awesome.
That's what Steve, that's what I saw. I know Steve put on the internet.
Yes.
Look at.
Yeah. So we'll put the link in the show notes for those who want to check it out. It's this great little contraption that can basically sit in between your SLR and your tripod head, and it acts as a second utility head that bends and twists and does weird angles, and it's very cool.
It's very cool.
Very funky. And as we close out this show, I would just like to say it'll be too late by the time they get to hear this, but for all those in North Queensland...
Well, it is 10:22 at night.
No, I mean when this comes out on Sunday, North Queensland could be underwater. So, Mark Chapman, hope you've got your gum boots and your snorkel. Hope you guys are all staying safe up there.
Yes.
And that you didn't get blown away in the cyclone. Right. I think Santa that's about it.
Do you remember that song, Santa Never Made It Into Darwin?
Oh, vaguely.
Yes, a big wind came and blew the town away. That's right. 1974.
December 74 was Cyclone Tracy.
It was Christmas Eve.
That's right.
Yes, I remember it well.
Right.
I don't. I remember all the news the next day about it all. It was just powerful stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes, so well, of course, at that stage in our lives, you were twice my age.
Yeah, exactly. So if you can hear this, Mark, we assume you survived.
Absolutely.
If you didn't, if you can't hear this,
yep, we're back into single digits.
Just as we hit the pinnacle, it's all downhill from here, Bruce.
That's it. Bloody natural disaster. All right, mate. Will you have a good week?
I will, and I'm looking forward to my photo walk, and we'll hopefully share some lovely photos next week.
Excellent. All right, mate. We'll talk to you then.
All right. Bye, everyone. Bye.
Shutters Inc., another audio2u.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.